So last week we talked about how Peter was kind of a roaming itinerant preacher. He wasn't stuck in one place. He was moving around and moved around. He left Jerusalem and he's running around like the west coast down by Haifa and along the sea there, Mediterranean Sea. And we saw he met a man named Aeneas, healed him, he healed Dorcas. That's a terrible name. Tabitha is a much nicer version of that name. So he heals Tabitha. He raises her from the dead. And then he meets up with a Roman soldier, a man who commanded 100 men, the enemy of the Jewish people, the ones who have repressed them. And there, God says, get together. We're going to break down all the barriers. It's all gone now. There's no Jew or Gentile. It's just my people, one nation. And so they get together and encourage one another. Same thing with John. The disciples just don't hang around Jerusalem, because the ones that do, well, like James, the brother of Jesus, he gets executed staying around town. So it's a good idea to kind of maybe get away from Jerusalem where the pressure isn't so hot. And so John, all the disciples we know face terrible deaths. But John gets to live until he's old. And so he's living in this city called Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. It's on the west coast, on the Aegean Sea, right? And there it is. It's a port city. And so people would come there, and they would go to the big temple, and there was commerce there, and this little church was there. And John was there, and he's leading a group of disciples. And I kind of like to think about this as he's teaching them about Jesus, because he walked with them, and they're younger, and they didn't get to meet Jesus. And they're like, teacher, tell us about Jesus. Can you tell us about him? He goes, I can do that. And he says, well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. It's my mother's favorite Bible verse. Hangs on her wall of her home. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with us from the very beginning, and I was an eyewitness. And so we know that he goes to that island of Patmos because he's preaching about Jesus, and they don't want to hear that because Artemis makes a little bit more money for the people, right? And so they want that, things like that. And so he's sent away to exile, but then he comes back to Turkey. And so he writes his book. And so last week we saw he told the story because he was there. He was there at the tomb, and he and Peter outran him because Peter was a track star at Bethsaida High School, and he beat him to the tomb, and John was right behind him. Even though he was younger, the old guy still got moves, right? I love the details, don't you? Who got there first? It's important, isn't it? If you're starting a myth or a fable, do you really talk about these fine details, right? Like the cloth was folded and the stone was rolled away and the women were crying. Back then, who cares what the women think, right? They were not important. You've come a long way, baby, right? Virginia Slims, huh? Them little skinny cigarettes, they made it all better, didn't they, Cindy? Did you ever smoke those? My mom was a Kent woman. Remember in the old days you could go to and kids could buy cigarettes? You know, you just put the money there and bonk, pull the label thing, and out came cigarettes and a free pack of matches. It was a win-win. Mom, you're running over to mom. Am I reaching you? And so, where were we? The truth to the story, because he goes, I'm an eyewitness. I was there. I was there when the cloth was folded. I was there when the stone was rolled away. And so they went back to the upper room because they can't find Jesus. And we know that he appears to Mary Magdalene, and there she's trying to hug him. He says, no, 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 Mary, this isn't permanent. This isn't it anymore. I'm not here. Well, I'm going to go up to the Father. And that's when we'll embrace. And that's when we'll share this time together. But right now, I have to get ready to just go tell everyone I came back. And so that night, it's the evening of that day. It's the day of the resurrection. It's Sunday. And on that evening, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were because they were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid someone was going to come get them and do to them what was done to Jesus. And Jesus comes in. He stands among them. How'd he get in? He's just there. And he says, peace be with you. And they said, also with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Just so you want to make sure it's me. It's me. You see the holes. You see where the spear went. The disciples were glad when they saw him. Jesus again says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm going to send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. But if you will withhold forgiveness, it will not be given." Now Thomas, he's one of the 12. We've seen Thomas before there in chapter 12 of John. And there he is. He's bold. He says, "You know what? If Jesus is going back to Judea," because they were hiding out Perea. Remember that? Before they went to go raise Lazarus, they're kind of hiding out because things were getting hot in Jerusalem. People were looking for him. Then chapter 10, they know they wanted to go out there and they're stoning to death. He said, "Not today." And so they go off to Perea and he says, "Let's go back to Judea." And Thomas goes, "Whatever, let's go die. We're going to die. Let's go." Also, we see him in the upper room. He's there and he's talking at the Last Supper. He's like, "I don't understand this, Jesus. How do we follow you? We don't get it. Where are you going? Jesus says, I'm leaving." And Thomas is like, "Can we come?" "No." "Then what's this all about?" So he's very confused. And we give him this negative attitude towards Thomas because he doubts. Because none of us doubt, right? None of us, we got it. We're good. We're strong. We got it all figured out. We're not like Thomas. So Thomas, he's one of the 12 and he's got a twin. That's why they called him Didymus. And the other disciples said, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Unless I see him myself, unless I place my hands into the holes of his wrists where the spikes went and into his side, I will never believe." He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He knew who he was. He just couldn't believe it, what everyone else saw. So 8 days later, the disciples were once again locked in that room, still hiding. It's been 8 days. Jesus came in and once again, locked doors, no problem for him. He stood among them and says, "Peace be with you." Thomas is there this time. And he sees Thomas. He says, "Thomas, come here and put your finger here and put it here. Do not disbelieve," he says, "but believe." Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The purpose of this book, John writes, he kind of closes his story up, although he has another story, which we're going to talk about next week. Jesus goes fishing. All right, Joyce, we're going to show your fish. That's going to be the prop, and then we're going to talk about fishing, all right? She caught a monster fish. It was this big. It didn't get away. It says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." There's more, he says. There's more stories. Sometimes we look at the book and we want the evidence and logic and we want more. What did he say at this time? And we want it to be spread out. But you know what? It's not written that way, is it? So Jesus appears to his disciples. "Peace be with you," he says, and then he breathes on them. And what do we think when he's breathing into something? He breathed into the dirt, and we came out of the dirt, didn't we? Well, the men did. The women, you came out of the side. But the men came out of the dirt because God breathed into them. He will give you life when he breathes into you. He will send the Holy Spirit, and he breathes it upon them. And they have the Spirit. Well, what about Pentecost? Now, that's another story, right? Ben, it gets a little confusing now. If he's going to give them the Holy Spirit there, well, what happens on Pentecost? You know, he's like, lose your minds, right? Yeah. You can get it twice, can't you? We can get the Holy Spirit a couple times. So there he is, and place your hands and see it for yourself. You want evidence, don't you? You want the proof. We know there in John, I think it's John chapter 8 or something, he says, "You know what? People will see miracles for themselves, and they still won't believe, will they?" That's not, so we sometimes, I do way too much YouTube, I do way too much Google Maps, which is my favorite thing in the world. I got directions for everywhere. Wherever you want to go, I got them. And so, but it's, I see so many people, they go to colleges and college students are very skeptical because they're smarter than the rest of us, right? Anyone else go to college? I was a genius in college. I left and I couldn't get a job. I realized what a dummy I was, you know? Like, I'm a college grad. Everyone wants to pay me $100,000. They did not. I'm a stockbroker. Everybody listen to me when I call. I got this little energy stock based in Houston. It's called Enron. What do you think? You like it? They make lots of money. Going to go up. And it did. Crashed and burned. You didn't have any money in that, did you? No. See, you're smart. busy day. Jesus is coming out. He's with the disciples in there. They want the evidence. We want the proof. What's Jesus also do that day? He takes a 7-mile hike. He goes to this place called, he's on the road to Emmaus, and this is from Luke 24. These two stories, I'm sorry I'm all over the place, but it's important to get an idea of what was happening that day. So in the morning we see he rises from the dead, and there's Mary Magdalene waiting to go there and to anoint his body with spices, and he's not there. The angel said, and then she sees him in the garden, and the disciples, they come there, and they don't see him, so they run back, and then he comes to visit them at night. But in the meantime, that very day, there was two disciples, and they were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's to the west of Jerusalem, north and west. And while there, they were talking with each other about the things that they saw. They were disciples, and they came to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they came to hear Jesus speak, and they saw what happened to him. They saw that he was arrested. They saw that he was tried, and he was thrown up on the cross, and he was dead and buried, and he was gone. And they were talking about what they had seen, and Jesus himself drew near them, and he went with them. But they kept walking forward. He's just a stranger walking next to him, probably has a cloak on. They're walking east to west, which is into the rising sun, right? And so they look, and they see the sun's in their eyes, so here's Jesus with them, and they can't quite see. And of course, you're not going to think it's Jesus, right? Because you saw what you saw just 3 days ago. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're having with each other?" And they stood still, and they stop, and they look sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, he says, "Are you the only one to Jerusalem that does not know what happened? This is a big story. 1.2 million people coming for the Passover. The Roman guards are there. There's this big trial. Who are you going to pick, Jesus or Barabbas? It was a show, and they put one on, and they crucified Jesus, and everyone wants to see that. It's something happening." And Jesus says, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death. And then they crucified him." You see, he was the one we hoped that would save us from Rome. Yea, and besides all this, it's now the third day. And moreover, they know about the women. Some women of our company amazed us, and they were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back and said that they had seen angels who said he was alive. All four Gospels account this, don't they? And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. And Jesus said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He calls them foolish, and "You're not very bright, are you?" We're not, are we? We're kind of foolish. We hope for something that doesn't go our way, and we become despondent, don't we? But then Jesus, he's not hard on them, is he? He tells them. He says, "In the beginning there was Moses, and there's all the prophets." He told them about Moses, and they and he interpreted to them all the scriptures about himself. How many times is Jesus mentioned in the Old Testament? They say like 342 times, right? So many times. They drew near to the village they were going, and they asked if he was going any further, and they wanted him to stay because it's getting dark, and come and stay for dinner. He went in with them and was at the table. Jesus takes the bread, and he blesses, and he holds it over his head, and he broke it. And they knew what they were watching, didn't they? This is him. This is Jesus, and he's back. And they saw it with their own eyes. And like Jesus, we see some character here. We see him just disappear, just like in the upper room in John. You see, these books are written 40 to 50 years apart, but the character of him is the same, isn't it? We saw when we were talking about Mary and Martha, how they were in the book of Luke and how they acted in John. It's the same. So it makes you think, this just might be true. It is. And at that time, they jumped up and they ran another 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the other 11 about what they had seen. You see, we want evidence. We want proof, don't we? Prove it to me. Let me see you do that. Jesus says we can do miracles over and over again, and they won't believe it. We want the evidence. And what does Jesus tell us to do? To read the darn Bible. Did you pick that one up? Are you reading your Bibles? Don't listen to Sean Hearn, what he has to say. I may lead you wrong. Guy, I might not get it right. Because I didn't go to seminary. Too old, not going. But I read the Bible. And what does it say? I get these guidebooks. They're big. For each book of the Bible, like Book of Ruth, this big. You know, the Psalms, two of them this big. So I pulled down Revelation. And the spine wasn't cracked yet, Cindy. I had to crack it. These were a gift from a friend, Barbara. And that's embarrassing when you crack a spine for the first time. I've been sitting there for 5-6 years. And so he says, we're looking for evidence. Do we want proof? And Jesus says, read what it says. The book of Revelation, we just said, was scary, wasn't it? And what did we just read today? Was it scary? No. It's a symbol of hope. He says, remember what you did. Remember who you loved first. And the other people, the world is running out there looking for idols and living immoral lives. And what do we have? You got to read the Bible. I'm going to beat you over the head. Isn't it amazing what we do when we read together? Do we come to the same conclusion? No. Hard head, no, we do not come. But we've read it together, didn't we? We've read quite a few, didn't we, Cindy? And we learned something. And we were not afraid of them anymore. We got some understanding. And we come together in peace and love as we read these things. You know, here it says in verse 23, and it's a sticking point for many people. Jesus told the people, if you forgive, their sins will be forgiven. But if you withhold them, it is withheld. And people want to argue. Does that mean we forgive sins? Is that where it comes from? Who forgives sin but God? And then we saw in Luke chapter 5, my favorite, right? When he forgave the man's sins, everyone said that was blasphemy and wanted to destroy Jesus. But you know what? Here's what I learned. Let's not complicate things. Gosh, we want to throw this Bible out and people say, read it for yourself and take something out of context or read this or that. It's really just basic. It's saying we're the body of Christ. We learned that from 1 Corinthians, didn't we? We're the body of Christ. And he's given us hands and feet to serve him and a mouthpiece to speak his name. And we fulfill his role here on earth till we gather together. And so we offer forgiveness on the behalf of Jesus, all right? Boy, that was simple, wasn't it? Anyone got any problem with that? But if you don't believe me, read it for yourself. Get your nose in a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. A good one, all right? You don't think I will? Cindy, I've given out a few, haven't I? We'll give them out. Right, Amanda? We love to hand out a Bible. It's amazing. And I'm currently out, so we got to order more, don't we? Before them tariffs kick in. I don't know where they print them. Hopefully in America. So, what a busy day he had. He was raised and he was encouraging people. He was showing himself. And John says, we are witnesses. He writes his book, we saw this. We were there. It's true. And if you don't believe us, read what the Bible says about him. Read the Old Testament with the 300 plus references to when Jesus is coming and who he's going to be. Amen to that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I hope these words, these stories that come together, they come to life. And you came and we didn't trust you and you had to go. And so we crucified you. You said you would come back and you did. You came back and you showed yourself to many, many, many. In the book of Corinthians, you showed yourself to 500 at once. The disciples saw you and they were witnesses of that. They were willing to die because you came back. And that you say in Revelation that you will come again. You will come up on the clouds one day with the sword of truth from your mouth and you'll be white as snow, your hair like wool. We will see you again as you promised. We will see you, if not here on earth, we will see you in the throne room of heaven. We will stand before the Father. You are advocate, Satan our accuser, and we will be redeemed. We will be forgiven for all that we've done. This is what we share. This is what the world needs to hear. The world says no. But we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to the forgiveness of our sins. We say yes to a life eternal. We say yes to the being the bride of Jesus. We say yes to the feast. We accept your invitation. The best is yet to come. Amen. Amen.